The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Second half of the show is live. Thanks for being here. Busy show so far. We just had Coach Derek Mason on, Jim Donnan earlier. Rion right now in Tennessee is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. I'm a current student at Tennessee, and I actually met you this past fall when y'all came to Knoxville.
Oh, great.
I have a couple questions. I have a couple questions for you. What do you think about Tennessee going down to the Swamp and in Tuscaloosa beating Florida and Alabama this year? Also, based on what you have seen from Joe Milton so far, do you think he could be a top quarterback in the SEC this year?
Yeah, I think Milton could be. Rion, good to meet you, by the way. I don't like the idea, the prospects of Tennessee winning both those games. I think the Florida game is more important. I think that's a scene setter for the entire season. That's going to be paramount. Right now, I think they'll get that game, but there is going to be a lot of pressure on them to beat Florida twice in a row. I don't remember the last time that has happened. Thanks for the call, though. Appreciate it. Matt is up next in Maine. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Hey, Matt. I guess Maine, long way off. May have taken a while for the signal to register in Maine. David is in Montgomery, Alabama. Hello, David.
Thanks for taking my call, Paul.
I contacted you
back in January and asked you the question about coaches using social media, Twitter, you name it. At that time, you were of the opinion that Lane Kiffin was kind of the leader at that. But recently, I've noticed Coach Prime is getting most of the attention. Would you say he's taking leadership, or what would be your top three coaches that would be using the social media in a powerful way?
Well, I think Prime is just masterful at that. You know, whether he's got his own YouTube channel. So I think he has figured it out, and that's a difficult thing to figure out. Everyone acts like they know what's going on with social media, and very few really do. And, you know, Kiffin is probably the most clever. I mean, other coaches use it. Most of the time, the coach is not really doing it. It's someone else. In Kiffin's case, he's really doing it.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah, a lot of times it's just it's an information tool. I've asked Nick Saban a number of times about joining Twitter, and so far one day I sat in his office years ago, and I thought we had convinced him to go ahead and make the leap, but he wouldn't go for it. Davis is in Wisconsin. Davis, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I agree with JK. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
And no disrespect to Phyllis, legend, Larry, Jim, Fire and Brimstone, Joe, and even Logan. But I believe that Georgia is going to repeat here.
Well, Davis, they will be the favorite, and they'll be a pretty big favorite, but no one has done it. So it will be – I mean, there's always something that could go wrong. Last year we saw that in Atlanta. Georgia had a really good season that – looked like it was in peril on New Year's Eve. Thank you for the call. Okay, one more time, I'm going to try Matt in Maine. Matt, are you there now?
I am here now, Mr. Paul Feinbaum. This is Matt in Maine. I'm actually from Dothan in Birmingham. You know that because I am a third-time caller.
Sure.
But this is what I wanted to ask you, and hopefully it is an intelligent inquiry. With all the carousel movements going on within the conferences, do you think Notre Dame and Touchdown Jesus could go to the Pac-12 and save the Pac-12 along with Deion Sanders?
Thanks, Matt. No, I don't think that's even remotely possible. I think ultimately Notre Dame has let this ship sail once again. I really believed a year ago Notre Dame was going to bite the bullet and head either to the ACC, the Big Ten, or even the SEC was in play. But I think with the television deals all settling down, they got what they wanted. They like the arrangement with the ACC where they play everything but football and, I believe, hockey. and it has worked well for them. Thank you for the call. Good to hear from you again. And Lewis in Georgia is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Ball. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I've been watching you for a few years, but I currently live in Auburn, Alabama, but I was born and raised in Georgia.
Okay, well,
and,
great.
My whole family's Alabama fans. That's kind of crazy, so I kind of broke the cycle. And I think the sun shines on the dogs, you know what, every now and again.
It does.
So what I was trying to say is, even though, you know, I don't see much shade, you know, coming to take the sun away, but do you think you have the top five schools that's always going to get the top players, right? But with the NIL and all that stuff, do you think that's eventually going to cycle out and make it more of a playing field? You know,
Lewis, we are 2 years into it. NIL/transfer portal have transformed the game. What we saw last year with TCU is evidence that you can cobble a team together pretty quickly. Now, ultimately, does that affect Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson? It has not. We haven't seen any evidence of that because they are so dominant in recruiting. And yeah. I would add LSU to that equation as well. But you can have I think next year with the playoff, you're going to see it more. I think you're going to see more outliers.
The 12 teams is going to make a difference. And I think with, you know, expanding, the playoff and everything like that, that will eventually, the NIL and everything like that, don't you think that? Because you just got to be in the top 12 then, right, to make a difference.
It's a little more complicated. It's the highest ranked 12 teams, and then there's a formula. But yes, it's really going to change everything. And I don't want to get this season out of the way too quickly because we can finally see it 4 months out. But a year from now, the game will be a transformational year with Texas, Oklahoma, USC, UCLA going Big Ten, SEC, and then the 12-team playoff. Thank you for the call. Kevin is in Pensacola. You're on the air. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Okay, thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to get your take on the LSU-FSU game this year. I know last year neither team was ranked and still turned out to be a great game, but I wanted to get your feel of, I know that FSU is a 1.5-point underdog right now, and which team would hurt more with a loss, and just get your take on that game.
I think it would hurt FSU more because it's a big stage for them, and they have big games remaining, but they don't have the type of games that LSU would have.
What do you think about the game?
I would agree with the odds makers. I mean, I'd slightly lean toward LSU, but it's impossible 4 months out, 3 months out to really know. And I say that only because something could happen that would change the buildup for the game. But it is going to be a monster opening weekend game. I think the game's on Sunday night. Hey, thank you for the call. We're heading to a break. We've been busy with a lot this afternoon, including a visit by Derek Mason, the former Vanderbilt head coach. Jim Donnan was with us a couple of hours ago, a couple of other guests, and we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You ever flip something on and said, I think I've seen this before? Well, this is the quarters of the NCAA tennis tournament. Why does this look familiar? That is the Final Four from last year's CFP. I know who I'm betting on. Old Bud. Sounds like a good name for a dog. Is up next.
How you doing there?
Hey, Bud.
How you doing there, Paul?
We are well, thank you.
Yes, sir. So I got one question for you.
Actually, you don't. You hung up on yourself. Wasn't Old Roy, wasn't that like some dog food from Walmart? Was that like Sam Walton's dog or something? We'll see if Old Bud gets out of the doghouse and can call us back. Eric is in Birmingham. Hello, Eric.
Man, oh man. I got a question for you. What kind of vitamins do you take, Paul? Where do you get your vitamins from? I know you take some, correct?
Yeah, I don't think that's really a secret. I don't even know. They're just like multivitamins. I'm not really specific.
Well, whatever it is, you have the greatest memory of all time. These people calling in and say, yeah, you remember me. You remember me. I've called twice. So whatever it is you're taking, I want some of it. I want some of what you got.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, Eric, it's amazing. Have you called before? I'm trying to remember.
Yes, sir, I have, but I'm not going to ask you if you remember me.
You called, I think, on 4-17-17. You called. I'm just kidding you, of course, but I try to remember things with where I was and when, and that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know how many calls y'all receive a year, but it's got to be something.
I remember a lot of them. Now, the problem is remembering, you remember the good ones, though, or the bad ones. There are some that are very forgettable. Not this one, though. I'll remember Eric asking me what kind of vitamins I take. Never been asked that question before. Andy is up next in Iowa. Hello, Andy.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Andy, we are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, and I'm the second-time caller.
Great.
I was going to tell you, I live in Iowa, but I was born and raised, spent most of my life in Georgia. I'm a huge diehard dog fan. I was going to talk to you about, I was wondering if you were aware of Caden Proctor, his offensive lineman. I think he's a left tackle for Bama.
Yes. Oh, yeah, the one that was committed to Iowa?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember him.
He played football with my son. My son plays for Southeast Polk High School up here in where we live at. It's out from Altoona, Iowa.
Sure.
And he was a hoss back then, and he led them to two state championships.
Yeah, he's supposed to be all world. What can you tell us about him?
Oh, I know that he was number one offensive lineman in the country. I think he was like number five overall player in the country, and every college wanted him. I think every SEC team wanted him, including Georgia. And I tried to convince him to go to Georgia, but he chose Bama instead.
Well, what happened? Because initially, if I remember, he committed to Iowa, and then Alabama was able to pry him away. I'm not asking you for state secrets, but you know him well.
Oh, yes. Know him very well. He was verbally committed to Iowa because that was his home, you know, where it's close to his family. But way before then, when he was a junior in high school, Nick Saban was after him then.
Okay. That's a long way off, but that recruitment sent shockwaves through the Midwest. I distinctly remember that. What about your son? Is he still playing?
Oh, yes. My son, he'll be a senior this upcoming fall. And my son's a pretty big boy. He's about 6'3". He'll go about 350.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's a defensive tackle.
Where is he thinking about going?
He really don't want to go to college.
Okay.
He went to a camp. He went to a camp, college camp last year. And he said, if the big colleges, if the Division I colleges are like this, he said, man, they ran me to death. He said, I don't want no part of that.
Well, Andy, whatever he does, I hope you guide him well.
Yes. We've been trying to guide him toward college, but it's whatever he wants, you know.
Well, hey, there are plenty of people that don't go to college. What would he do if he didn't go to school?
We're trying to get him into a field like electrician or HVAC, you know, something like that.
Some kind of
trade like that.
Well, those are good professions. Andy, thank you for sharing the story. I appreciate it. You be well. You take care of yourself. Steve-O is up next in San Simons. Good afternoon.
Hey, Feinbaum, I got a beef with you, dude. You ready to hear it?
Yes.
All right, so now I know why Jim gets so spitting mad at you, because you have a nasty habit. Right, this is your habit. When you don't agree with someone's call, you just talk all over and pretend like they aren't even there because you don't agree with them. I called you a couple of days ago about A&M. You talked over me and then you hung up on me. You didn't even let me finish my statement, dude.
Well, go ahead and finish it now.
All right. So let's talk about the culture issue that I was talking about. All right. So. You know the history of A&M.
Well, Steve-O, if I remember the call, you were spouting off a bunch of stuff about A&M.
I don't believe
it's true, and you tried to masquerade as an A&M fan.
Well, you know, you're doing the same thing now that you told me you're going to let me finish.
Well, I want to establish who you are and what your credentials are before
my dad graduated from a great
university like Texas A&M. So who are you?
And my dad graduated from A&M in 1970.
He passed
away this year. And I've been to every single game, including the Cotton Bowl when they beat Auburn and Bo Jackson. If you want to start, I was at the Cotton Bowl when A&M took the towel
away
from Ken Brown.
We have that much in common. I was at the game myself, so that's the
first.
We have one
common. You want to keep going about what I know about A&M?
No, I'm trying to establish where your loyalty lies.
I was there when the year Jackie Sherrill created the 12th man, watched the first 12th man run on the field. So I understand A&M. All right, all I'm saying is this, Paul. Kevin Sumlin. So let's just talk about Kevin Sumlin. Who was the athletic director when Kevin Sumlin was hired?
I believe it was Bill Byrne. I can't remember.
Yes, it was Bowtie. We all called him Bowtie because we loved him. He would come around the tailgates, talk to fans.
Bill Byrne for those who don't know, is Greg Byrne's father.
All right. So we called him Bowtie because he always wore a bow tie.
Okay.
All right. So who fired Kevin Sumlin?
I do not remember the AD's name.
It was the same one that hired Jimbo.
Oh, okay. Scott Woodward fired someone. Okay.
All right. So do you know why Byrne got let go?
I have no idea.
He didn't want to fire Kevin Sumlin. He was told to fire him.
Wasn't there an AD between them?
Bowen.
No, Bowen... pretty sure there was another AD.
Bowen.
Bowen. I don't think his name was Bowen.
So this is Bowtie. Bowen. Well, we called him Bow Tie. He walked around with a bow tie. He was old.
Are you sure? I mean, I know you're the expert on A&M, but were you thinking of Bowen Lofton, the president at A&M?
We called him Bow Tie. I don't know what his name was.
You said the AD wore a bow tie.
I simply asked you, are you
confusing him with Bowen Lofton, who was the president at A&M?
I think Bowen Lofton was actually acting AD at the time.
No. I mean, listen, I don't want to correct you on your great knowledge of A&M, but Bowen Lofton was the AD's name, he came from South Carolina, I believe, was Eric Hyman. That's the one you're confusing. And Bowen Lofton was the president, not the acting AD. But continue with your great knowledge of A&M, right, okay?
So Bowen Lofton, so bow tie, but he wasn't the president for very long either.
He wasn't. I think he went to Missouri.
So, yeah, he did. Kevin Sumlin
wasn't there very long either.
Kevin Sumlin wasn't given the same rope that Jimbo's been given as far as the courtesy.
Steve-O, I covered most of that. Kevin Sumlin was not a great coach. And that's the reason why he's been fired everywhere he's been since then. So let's call things as they are, not the way you dream them to be.
So Dumbo ruined Florida State's program, ruined it. You don't agree with that?
Well, he won a national championship before he supposedly ruined it.
Well, so did a lot of other coaches win national championships that aren't
actually
anymore.
Actually, very few coaches have won a national championship, but keep going.
Okay, well, trust me.
I'm having a hard time trusting you, Steve-O, because most of what you told me so far has turned out not to be true.
He won a national championship with his players. He won a national championship with...
Steve-O, allow me 15 seconds and you can finish. I said what I said the other day, that I don't think you know what you're talking about, and I will reaffirm my position that you may have grown up the son of an Aggie, but you have no earthly idea what you're talking about.
Paul, you have your own opinions.
That is not an opinion that I just picked up at the grocery store. That's an opinion based on many years of watching college football and conversing with people who mostly
about. You haven't even watched A&M before they joined the SEC in 2012.
I happen to not only have watched them before they joined, I was out there before they joined. I've been there a number of times.
You were in College Station at games.
Yes. I happen to be very close to Jackie Sherrills. I've also happened to be very close to Gene Stallings, so I am well aware of A&M prior to this phone call.
Okay, fair enough. I did not know that about you.
Well,
I'll give you that. See, I'll give.
Steve-O,
I'll give you
in
that.
In 2012, I hosted an event at Texas A&M in College Station. I was the MC of an event. Honoring the Cotton Bowl team that Gene Stallings coached that upset Alabama, I believe it was 68. All the players were there. I sat next to Rick Perry, the governor of the state at the time. I was invited by Porter Gardner, who is the chairman and CEO of the former Students Association, which you probably know is the most influential alumni group out there and in probably in the country. So we can match wits all day, because you grew up the son of an Aggie, but I'm here to tell you thank you for your call, and we look forward to our next visit. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
News this week about EA Sports video game concerning college football, and nobody better to discuss that than Matt Brown. Matt from the EP newsletter, it's always good to see you, and maybe you can make some sense out of what is an age-old controversy about EA Sports. Good afternoon. Thank you for your time, and for those who may have missed the news, what is it and what does it all mean?
Sure thing, Paul. It's always a pleasure to be here. Oh, the big news that came out this week is that EA Sports confirmed that they've now secured a partner to help them with a group license for to pay college athletes to use their exact name, image, and likeness in the next EA Sports video game. If you played this the game over the last several years, university and intellectual property was included. You could play as Notre Dame, you could play in the swamp, but the player would be QB number 7 or running back number 19, and their exact likeness was not depicted in the game. And we had a big lawsuit, and that's why we haven't had the game here for a little while. EA has always said it's been our intention and our desire to pay athletes to be involved in this game, but we didn't have a mechanism to do it that was permitted by the NCAA or a logistical way to do it, because there's 10,000 plus FBS scholarship athletes, and trying to get them all to sign a licensing agreement and to get them all into a game is a gigantic logistical hurdle. Now EA Sports has announced, all right, we're going to work with a company called One Team Partners. They have a lot of experience in the group licensing world. We're going to create a deal. And the next time that you play a college football video game, which should be next summer, you'll be able to see actual player names in that game. And those players will be compensated to be in that video game.
This is really going back many, many years to the genesis of a lot of what we're talking about now. In terms of what you think it will be worth to the athletes? Any idea, and how many will be included?
It's a good question, and I have seen a couple of other outlets report, hey, it's going to be $500 an athlete, and that isn't a number that I can confirm yet. That may actually be the case. It hasn't been the finality of the terms here has not been completely finalized. But among the individuals I've spoken to that have were involved in those conversations, it's been about that much. I have the expectation given to me was think three figures, not four figures, not five figures, which is very different from the amount of money that athletes get for Madden or for 2K. Mailbox money, I think, is a good way to describe this. And there's a lot of reasons for that, because we have 2,500 members of the NFLPA that appear in professional football video games. EA Sports says we want every scholarship athlete to be in this game. So that's over 10,000 when you consider that this game will come out after Sam Houston and after Jacksonville State and some of these new schools join FBS. That's a lot of players. And playing a college football game is different from playing a professional sports video game, because players graduate. And if you play a dynasty mode or you play for a couple of other seasons, everyone will be gone and will be playing with computer-generated players anyway. I imagine over the years, the amount of money paid to athletes will likely increase. That's been the case for other group licensing deals as they figure out how royalties work. But if you talk to athletes, and this has been a reoccurring story throughout the NIL era, getting cars, getting clothes, getting cash, all of this is great. It's something that athletes want. But if you talk to FBS football players, one of the things that they are most excited about, almost to a person, is to be in this video game. And getting $500, $600, $700 is great. Hopefully it's more in the future. But I think if EA literally went to them and said, here's $100 and here's a copy of the game, you would find thousands of people ready to sign up.
Just for those who don't play video games, how does it work? And I know we haven't had it in a couple of years, but are these reasonably priced games for the average fan who's watching and listening right now?
No, but it's a good question, and because this is a AAA, we call it AAA title. It's done by a major production studio. There's hundreds and hundreds of people developing it. When it is new, These are generally not super cheap games. They retail for $50, $60, $70. The price drops over the course of the season. They have been immensely popular for consumers because they are, it's the most realistic way that you can simulate what a college football season is like. It's not just you getting on the controller and throwing a bomb down the field. These games also allow you to simulate recruiting. You know, that, and this is something that EA and some of the individuals involved in this game have told me, like, look, if you're running one of the, if you're playing this game, you're managing official and unofficial visits. You're going to have the transfer portal in this game. You're going to have NIL in this game. So it appeals to people that like action games and also simulation games. And something that's very important for schools, even if they themselves don't play a lot of video games. If you talk to just about any athletic director in the country, there's a constant concern of how do we make college athletics and our programs more approachable and more digestible to a younger generation, the kinds of people that might not watch a 3.5-hour football game, the people that are not buying and showing up for these student tickets that we're giving them. A lot of it is through games. It's through the phones. It's through other digital devices. And this is a way to get the brand of Alabama football and Auburn football and show the world what Neyland Stadium looks like when there's 100,000-plus people in there on their PlayStations. So even the people that are not gamers in this industry are very excited about this development because of who the new audiences that they're going to be able to reach.
And finally, and you've answered it in part by what you just said, but for those of us who don't play these games like maybe we once did, what is the target demo for this, the EA college football game?
Yeah, that's a great question, because this is I think, a rare video game series where the target demo is generally much broader than maybe a Call of Duty or a more traditional, you know, action adventure RPG kind of game. The folks that are buying a lot of these video games tend to be, you know, males under 35. But the people that enjoy and watch football is a much broader demographic than that. And people in my generation, I'm in my mid-30s, people much older than I am play these. And the hope is that you're not only reaching, you know, college students, you're not only reaching people in their early 20s, you're reaching people that may be a gateway drug, as it were, or a pathway for them to then get into college football and get into appreciating the traditions and the pageantry and understand some of these schools. I heard this a lot from administrators reporting on this development, which I've been doing now for the last 2 years. That they run into people who are like, hey, I grew up in Pennsylvania, I grew up in Ohio, and I didn't know anything about Oregon until I played this video game and I saw the stadium and I saw the campus. I didn't know anything about school X, Y, or Z, and then I saw it through here. And that's part of why these schools have gigantic athletic departments. It's a different mechanism to reach people outside of their backyards.
Matt Brown, fascinating subject. It won't be the last time we tackle this. Matt, thank you. If they need some callers for the call-in version of it, we can work out the deal right after the segment. Hey, thank you.
Absolutely, I'll pass the information along.
Please.
Thanks, Paul.
You got it. Great stuff, Matt Brown, one of the leading experts around on what is a very eagerly anticipated game next summer. We'll take a break. Your eagerly anticipated phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Matchup coming up shortly. Arkansas, number 2 in the country, taking on the Commodores, 7 p.m. Bob is up next in Fort Worth. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Paul, I just like to, and you, we didn't always agree on A&M athletics, but I just like to thank you over the last 3 or 4 days, I've heard you step up to the plate and sound off about what you thought about A&M as a academic institution, and this call don't really mean a lot, but I just like to tell you I appreciate what you said over the last 3 or 4 days.
Well, Bob, thank you. I really believe I've got, thanks to some friends, I was able to get in on the A&M move early, got a chance to see that program. I've been out there many, many times as a visitor, and I know when somebody is telling the truth and when somebody's just making things up, and my firm belief is that guy was creating something out of nothing based on some past occurrence at A&M, and it's just not accurate.
Well, and as a third generation Aggie, I'd just like to tell you I appreciate your words, and me and you both know when me and you were, and me and you both about the same age, when we was kids, they didn't spend a lot of their time on probation just for silly nonsense thing that everybody else was doing. But A&M is a steadfast academic school, and they don't get a lot of credit for that, and people always holler about, well, they hadn't won this championship, they hadn't won that championship, and they don't understand the history of A&M.
Well, I am glad you called, and Bob, you be well. You take care of yourself. Thanks for checking in with us. Terry is in Texas. Hello, Terry. Good afternoon.
Hello. Well, my call's a little different than that one, but I called about the same Aggie that called a while ago, just to let you know, or to thank him for letting the world know why Longhorns make fun of Aggies. That is the epitome of what we think of when we think of Aggies. And that's where all of the laughter and the jokes from, you know, that go on forever. That's where they all come from, these guys like that.
Well, thank you very, very much. Dale in Colorado. Dale, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
We are doing great.
Hey, are you sure that wasn't Steve-O from Jackass? I think he was trolling you, Paul.
I mean, the first time he called, but the fact that he called back again, didn't he quote Jim from Tuscaloosa as one of his mentors?
I think so. I don't know, man, but that's ridiculous, man. I mean, I don't even know what to say about that call, but hey, I just got one quick comment, please, Paul. What, do you think Larry's call today is going to be about Georgia and Bama recruiting again?
Larry's really stuck on that one call, and I hope Larry has some new material. I'm not optimistic though. Expired in Texas is up next.
Paul, I just wanted to comment on Sicko's call, or Steve-O, whatever his name is.
Steve-O.
Sicko, my bad. I'm going to say this. That is easily the most – that's dumber than an Arkansas call. And he's making up stuff and acting stupid. And I don't – it's not an act, okay? Him acting stupid ain't an act. It's just what it is. But my goodness, Paul – I mean, Jimbo had a bad year last year. There's no doubt. And we're all pissed off about it. But we got to have faith that our Aggies are going to come back. You know, it's not like we don't have some talent. And we have the fan base. And then you got some knucklehead like that.
Well, the guy got a the guy didn't know who the athletic director was. He got the president confused with the AD. He clearly has a
bow tie. Everybody
yeah, I mean, he's got a bow tie bias, which I've never worn a bow tie outside of a tuxedo in my life. But if somebody wants to wear one, good for them.
Exactly. And then we get a Longhorn that's going to chime in that you know, when he grew up, he was eating crayons out of the box in fifth grade, you know, in the classroom.
By the way, I can't wait for the Longhorn Aggie rivalry. I mean, that is going to extend the show this show's history longevity by a significant amount.
Paul, you're exactly right. It's going to be a lot of that mess, and I mean, he's chiming in. That's what we think about Aggies and all this stuff. And you know, and he looks up every day at his boss, and he knows his boss is an Aggie. I mean, so that's the type of people Longhorns are. And I don't class them all that way. Only 99% of them. Okay, Paul. I just really can't believe you have the patience for Sicko.
Expired. Thank you. And by the way, somebody who 25 years ago did about 55 different joke books involving college football rivalries – the line he used about, you know, what do, fill in the blank, what do Florida State fans call their boss? You know, what it, it's such a great joke that I've forgotten about in terms of college football rivalries. We have another hour to go. Speaking of rivalries, your phone calls are welcome right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.